on more than 2 million poles for a low annual cost, then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, first crop 2-year-olds by Haynes Field is sold for an average of $177,333 this year. Horsemen are high on them. So are the people at Market Watch. He is one of three first crops to race this year, first crop sires, selected to head the freshman sire list. So his 2-year-olds look and act like runners, and he's received quality mares each year since his retirement. He was also a superior runner. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced, defeated the likes of champion Blaine the day he won the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he earned over $1,319,000. He's by champion Spitestown, sire of this past weekend of another Group 1 winner when Tamarkaz won the Group 1 $1 million Godolphin Mile, and he's out of a mare that won a place in 6 stakes, including Grade 2 stakes, from a family that loaded with top-class graded stakes winners. Haynes Field stands for $10,000 live foal at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton Sezone's Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, good morning, and this is Ursel Ellis, and we've got a clocker stand full of people here this morning. We're going to get up a crap game at any moment, and and believe it or not, the track's in really good shape. And
Harold,
they need to do something out of Keenan, hire a track man, I think. But
No.
Well, anyway,
it looks good out here today.
It is good. Yeah, we've had a bunch of workers this morning. Chris is our clocker just stepped outside. I think we ran him out with all the racket that's going on. But it's a lovely morning this morning. Dane Kubicki, who used to ride races, I think he rode mostly up in Maryland, is going to be on at about 11 o'clock. And Dr. Brian Walridge and Michael Bowen will be in. We're going to get in touch with Steve Moody, going to give us the winner of the Bluegrass Stakes. And with me right now is Gannick Kane and Chris Oakford, and they have written a book on the Iroquois hunt, which means, I guess, that you all are members of the Iroquois hunt.
That's right. And her last name's Oakford now. It's Glennie Klein Oakford.
Well,
do you have one of those fancy dashes in the middle?
I do not use a hyphen.
You don't use a hyphen?
She's an author, and she knew the word hyphen.
What did I say? I meant to say Oakford.
No, you didn't. You said Glennie Kane, because you've known her as Glennie Kane.
You know,
she's Glennie Kane.
I'd say 80% of the people who know me still call me Glennie Kane.
Well, Chris, you're an import from England, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yes, well, that explains it.
I should have a country code by his name, shouldn't I? GB.
That's right.
Well, I would have put a little asterisk like I used to do.
Like,
imported.
Okay. Well,
that's
pretty well, because it's
actually UK. So. Yeah, there you go. It does. When he came off the plane, tell him that story about what
that's
you saw.
I saw all the signs saying, welcome to UK. I thought it was quite polite and nice.
Now that we've insulted you.
That's funny.
Are you a member now of the...
By marriage, yes. I married. Glennie was a member of the Iroquois hunt already. And when we married, I became a member too.
Is that how you have to be married to somebody that gets
pretty
in?
Much.
That lets me out.
No, because I was single when I got in. So there you go. You can manage it. I think I'd have gotten in faster if I'd had Christopher with me the whole time, though.
Well, both of you are professional writers, right?
We are.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And you've written a book.
Yeah.
And you're going to have, honestly, I've got the date of it down here. On April the 14th, at the Keeneland Library. Library. Depends on where you're from. How do you spell it? L-I-B-E-R-R-Y?
I say library.
They're going to, what do you call it when you all get up there and talk about your books and everything like that?
We're
going to
give a presentation. And then there's a reception afterwards and a book signing.
Good.
And we will, I think, have a few books there to sell if people want to buy them there and have them signed. But otherwise, bring your own if you've got one.
That is, now that's going to be at Keeneland in the library from 6:30 in the evening, of course, not in the morning, although they get up and hunt probably that morning. till 8:30. What day is that fall? Tuesday. It's
a Tuesday.
Tuesday the 14th.
Yeah. Right, so no racing on that day. And hunting is over. So no excuses. We hope everybody will come and be there. Yeah. And we're really honored that Keeneland has done that. They have such a great library, and it's such a great resource for people like us who want to write histories, often about things that seem like very niche subjects. And it's amazing to have that, where you can go to a place like Keeneland, look up photographs, look up documents, look up old magazines, and not lose that history. It's really an important resource. So we are honored to be able to speak
there. Yeah, it's a great library.
It is.
It really is. I spent a lot of time in there. Put a twitch on that kid. Would you?
It's easy to spend a lot of time in that library. I kind of get lost in whatever I'm researching there. We both really love research almost better than writing. And so to have a place like that really is like heaven.
Well, I can understand that. I like to read history and everything too. So, but how long have you been a member now? That you don't go back to 1880 or whatever it was.
I don't go quite back to 1880, which is when it was founded. Although sometimes I feel like I do. I think I joined in 93 or 4, I believe.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Well, just yesterday.
20 years.
Yeah, about 20 years.
Yeah.
So I've been around it for a while.
Uh-huh. So. Well, there've been a lot of, I assume, characters and so forth that you write about?
There
is that what you're all writing about?
A huge number of characters. And one of the things that really surprised us when we started this project, and it became apparent really quickly, that it wasn't just about the hunt. It was as much as anything about Lexington, because a lot of the people who were involved in the hunt, which has had two incarnations, it started in 1880 and went on until about 1914, and then it was reconstituted in the 20s. And in both iterations of the hunt, the people who founded it and really were its life spark were also the life spark of a lot of the social life of Lexington. They were it was that group that also founded Keeneland, for example. They were a lot of sporting people and people who had major impact on the culture of this area. So it had a much broader application even than we realized. We thought we were going to be writing about a hunt club, and we ended up really writing about Lexington. And they also had connections to national history, too.
Well, that's great. Makes me really want to read it, because having lived all my life right here, you know, I mean, we're on the Russell Cave Road, so I grew up in Lexington. I remember when it was just about 45,000, you know.
Yeah, and there was a lot of hunting up in this area, which was another thing that kind of surprised us, how much of the hunting took place north of town. You know, Mount Brilliant has Russell Cave now on it, and Russell Cave was a big gathering place.
They used to have parties there. The hunt club wasn't just a hunt club, but there was a social club too, as it is now. And in the 1880s and 1890s, they would ride up Russell Cave Road to go into the cave and have a picnic outside and then have dancing by candlelight in the caves and then come back down to the town.
Well, I wouldn't want to go in that cave. I was brought up right across the road. I had a friend when I was in the fourth grade at Russell Cave School. Uh-huh. I'm a graduate of Russell Cave. I'm real proud of that.
He wrote the school song.
Oh, so you're a writer as well.
Yeah, I wrote the school song.
We're going to make you
sing it. It's a lousy school song, you know. Believe it or not, I can still remember the words.
That's a good song. Yeah.
But anyway, it was killed in that cave.
No kidding.
A big slab fell off the roof.
Oh, my goodness.
Lawrence Hughes' brother.
Grover Hughes. Yeah, he and I were in the sixth grade together when he was killed in there. So I never went back after that.
Well, I don't blame you. It doesn't sound like it was very safe also, by then.
You know, the people there now tore down the dam. It used to be dam there, but it's gone. Huh. Yeah, they opened it up and did something with it. But it used to flood down there all the time, weather like this. You know, I mean, the creek would back up. Elkhorn. I still say. I thought it was Elkhorn until I was 25 years old. And anyway, Jackie, you want to talk to him about the hunt or something like that? Jackie used to fox hunt. I was chicken.
Yeah, well, I was chicken too, but I did it. So, can you tell us any more interesting things about Iroquois that's in your book? You've got markers in there.
We do.
It was founded in about 1880 by a guy called General Roger D. Williams, who was from here, but he grew up partly in Cincinnati and Chicago because the Civil War was happening and his family was staunch unionists. And so
They
got out of town for a while and then came back. And then he went to Transylvania.
Yeah.
And Then he went out west when he was still like late teens, early 20s, and did some amazing things. He was a prospector in the Black Hills.
Really?
He was almost stabbed by Calamity Jane in a cafe because he laughed at her.
What did he do, make a pass?
he laughed at her, apparently, and she pulled a knife on him.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
He was a friend of Captain Jack Crawford and a member of the Black Hill Rangers. And then he also reported for the newspapers on the Battle of Little Bighorn. He did loads of stuff. Got bored with that, maybe, or just thought it was too dangerous, and went on stage up in San Francisco, where he acted with John Wilkes Booth's brother. Mm. And then he came back here, settled down, and with his friends, the Breckenridges, set up the Iroquois Hunt Club.
Huh. Isn't that fascinating? That's really a great story. Were you surprised when you found that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know.
I mean, that's gold.
Yeah, and one of the interesting little twists that we mention in the book, too, was that, as Christopher said, he acted on the stage with John Wilkes Booth's brother, which was in itself interesting.
Right.
But as it happened, he, the brother, went to the Derby in England that Iroquois won and was in attendance when Iroquois won the Derby. And, of course, that's the horse that the Iroquois Hunt Club is named after. So it's kind of a fun little historic twist.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
He was
stuff.
A fascinating character and seemed to be completely fearless and would try just about anything and obviously put his hand to a lot of stuff even before he was 30 years old.
Amazing. Yeah. That is just interesting stuff. Huh. Do you have to jump in here with something?
In a second. Yeah. Huh? Don't leave, Matt.
I'm not leaving.
I want to get you on.
I'm not leaving.
Okay.
They're getting cold. They want to go sit in the truck. So I didn't.
All right. That's where they're at. Matt Howard. He's got something to. What's he going to talk about?
I have no idea.
Nurse mares. People are sending nurse mares back that are open.
A nurse mare problem.
And they're going to have a scarcity of nurse mares. He wants to talk a little bit.
They won't breed them back.
Yeah, they don't. People aren't breeding them back, you know, and they're coming back open.
Empty.
Huh.
Anyway, all right. Well, here, let me take a commercial break here.
Okay.
I know you all have to get out of here because you're
going
to go.
We're going beagling.
They're going beagling, whatever the hell that is. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out as soon as we get back.
Slow down, puppies.
Well, March 28 at Gulfstream, the grade $350,000 Appleton Stakes was won by war correspondent. He is the son of Warfront. Bred and raised at Claiborne Farm for Joseph Allen, war correspondent, has never been out of the money in 8 starts with 4 wins, and he ran a mile in 1:34.4 to take the Appleton. He's just the latest in a long list of stakes winners by Warfront. 4 more already this year. Warfront stands at Claiborne Farm, home also of the grade one winner, Data Link. And now, Data Link, however you want to say it, broke his maiden as a 2-year-old in New York, then went on to win 4 graded stakes and $831,000. He won the grade one Maker's Mark Molly Keeneland, the grade 2 Citation Handicap at Hollywood Park, the grade 2 Mama Stakes, and the grade 3 Canadian Turf at Gulfstream, and he placed in 3 more graded stakes. Data Link is out of a stakes winner database. They have assisted to 3 stakes producers, among them the Dam of the Grade 1 winner, Him Book, and his first foals were arriving this year with excellent reviews. He stands at Claiborne Farm for $7,500, due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
He's swinging at me. I cut his toe when I was trimming his toenail. Somebody said, how'd you cut his toe? I said, I missed his neck.
So I've been limping for 2 weeks.
Limping, poor. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. We moved to Bourbon County. Friends recommended the Hopewell Company. That was going on 26 years ago. Whew. I'm getting old. They have been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. You're talking about Joe and Ted McClain. Ted trained in the barn with Secretariat, assistant trainer to Lucian Lauren. So they cover our house, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, as old as it is, plus liability. They've been there whenever we needed them. And as I've said before, we got struck by lightning about a year and a half ago, was it? I think it was in February. Anyway, they were there that day. They hot-wired the stove and the furnace and the hot water heater, and they were there the next day replacing our electricity. I mean, they're great. See, they work, they're an independent insurance agency. They work for us, not the insurance companies, and they give us the best coverage and the most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Call the Hopewell Company. They'll give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of what your insurance is now. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris, 987-2347, or in Lexington, 254-2431. You'll get great service. They guarantee it.
All righty. Pass the mic. They're in, of course, the Hopewell Company is down in Bourbon County in Paris, Kentucky, and there are two more businesses down there you should know something about. One's the Clay Ward Agency, and the other one is Indian Creek. Now, the Clay Ward Agency was founded in 1931. That was the year 20 Grand won the Derby. I remember it well. And they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 80 years now. That Mr. James Clay Ward founded the business based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And those qualities are carried on today, right now, by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. And whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, well, the pros at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. So I suggest that you give them a call, 859-987-1861. Just think of the year of the Civil War, 1861. And their business is at 1102 Main Street in Paris. And I think you should talk about Indian Creek. They're closely affiliated with Indian Creek, and it's a great place to board your horses. Gorgeous farm if you've never seen it. And it's a great place, to, as I said, to board your horses or have them sell for you. They sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds down through the years. And Shaq Parrish is the man to see there, or Nicky Dryan. I'll give you a number there, 987-7443. So they see the deadline for the Keeneland September sales. Nominating for that sales is coming up, I think, the 1st of May. So give the folks over at Indian Creek a call, 987-7443. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. All righty.
That was a great teaser for the book. That'll make you buy that book, for if nothing else. Now, Ursa wants to know about beagling. You're going beagling. Regular fox hunting is through because the farmers don't want you galloping across those fields this time of year, and they got calves and they got baby everything. So you don't want the hounds out there with that either. So inform Ursel about beagling.
Well, beagling runs on basically the same schedule as fox hunting, so it's getting ready to close down its season as well. But beagling is basically chasing either hare or cottontail rabbit, in our case cottontail rabbit, on foot behind a pack of beagles. And a lot of people, and I'm sure you've run into this
on
too. On foot. That's right.
foot.
It took a minute for that to sink in.
Yeah, but yeah, on foot.
Count me out.
We sometimes get counted out for the count, let me tell you. We sometimes are, it overcooks us too. But it is a really interesting sport. And I know that you've run into this, Jackie, with fox hunting, where people think that you shoot the game, and you don't. You don't have a gun. The hounds have to get to them, which means that kills are really, really rare. It's mainly just chasing the scent. So it's fun to watch the hounds work.
Woodford was always, it's a no-kill hunt. They carry a gun in case something, you know, gets. We hunted one time, and they came up on a big pile of lumber on this guy's farm. And the hounds were on the one side, and all of a sudden, a cat came out from that and ran straight up the tree.
Oh.
And Charlie said, "That's the luckiest cat that ever lived." Because they, you know, I mean, they, but it's a no-kill too.
So what's the prize, Molly?
You want to, what?
The prize.
Well, the prize is you get really live. Fit.
Yeah. You get back and you get, well, you wouldn't want to eat a fox, and you certainly wouldn't want to eat a coyote.
In the case of hunting coyote,
yeah, now
a lot of the point is to prevent them from packing up, from getting so comfortable in the country that they stop there, create their territory there, and begin to form packs, because that threatens the calves and the cattle. So a lot of the point of chasing the coyote is just to move them on, keep them moving.
Well, there's
we'll take that under consideration. We have a lot of farmers that really you know, that want that. They want the hunt moving through on a regular basis so that the coyotes, again, don't pack up.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a coyote once that was coming in on a newborn calf, and that coyote was dead meat. And that farmer was so happy, he was so nice forever and a day for, you know, that.
Here you go.
All righty. Well, I don't want to keep you all from beagling, so what time you have to be? Where are you doing this beagling now?
Down in around Shakertown area.
Oh, Shakertown. So,
yeah,
okay.
We have a little bit of a hike to get there, and we're providing some of the food, so.
Oh, okay. Why don't you bring some in? What the heck is this?
Don't say food.
Anyway, so this is Glennie and Chris Oakford, and they're having a presentation at Keeneland. They've written a book called The Iroquois Hunt, a bluegrass hunting tradition, fox hunting tradition. And sounds like it's going to be fun, especially if we're going to talk about some old people around here. I probably knew some of them that you're going to write about.
I'd say you probably do. And one thing that we should mention, too, particularly for your audience and for the people at Keeneland, there are a lot of connections to racing. It's not just through the hunt's name, being mm-hmm. named after the Derby winner, Iroquois, but there were a lot of connections to racing. They used to host their own race meet, the Iroquois members, back in the 1800s. They, again, were some of the people who also founded Keeneland. So there's some racing information there, too. If you're interested in racing history, yeah. You'll find some in our presentation.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay,
we
well, good. Okay, now that presentation is going to be at Keeneland, at the Keeneland Library, and there's going to be a reception and a book signing afterward. It's going to be on Tuesday, April the 14th at 6:30 p.m. until about 8:30 p.m. until they can kick you out of there. And anyway, that's Glennie and Chris Oakford, and I'm really looking forward. We're going to be there.
Well, good. We'll look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much for inviting us on today.
Always fun to talk to you. To Glennie and Chris, now that you know, even though you've got that asterisk in front of your name,
I've been here long enough
import.
Now.
He's an import. That's right.
You haven't picked up a Southern accent yet.
No.
Well, hang around.
He's fighting it.
He's fighting it.
He's fighting it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to put Matt Howard on here now for a second, and he's going to talk about something that whatever it is, something to do with nurse mares and availability of the same. And Matt is the manager of Gentry Farms right over here behind it's on Johnston Road here, right behind the Thoroughbred Center. All right, Matt.
Yeah, Randy Gilbert, who's the president of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, had called me the other day, and we were discussing. He'd gotten in touch with some of the nurse mare people. You know, every year we need nurse mares, and he said that two of the guys he called, 50% of the nurse mares came back open this year. And so all we're doing is kind of kicking ourselves in the hind end when we return these open. If we're not taking the time to breed these nurse mares back, it's going to hurt us the following year. One of them said if that happens again this year, he's going to go out of business. And so right now, Randy and I and some others, and I'm in contact with Dr. Brady Camp of Rood and Riddle and my wife, because over there, Crystal, on working up a program to where we can collect some stallions and have some semen available to breed these nurse mares. And my big stance on it is if you have a boarding farm or you have your own broodmare band, you should have a teaser. One, you got to jump and tease your mares anyways, and it helps you not get kicked out of breeding sheds. But also you have that to breed those nurse mares back, because in the long run, it's going to hurt. We're going to hurt ourselves doing that, sending these mares back empty. And we're working on a game plan, and by the next meeting, hopefully we'll have something lined out to where if people do not have a teaser, that they can contact myself or some others, and we will get it lined up to where we can get that nurse mare bred back. Because when you return that nurse mare open, it's either a $500 or a $1,000 fee if you return it empty. Hmm. So, and well below that, you know, I know at Rood and Riddle, just to collect a stallion is $200. Mm-hmm. And most vets around here will AI a nurse mare for free. And I know my vet and some other vets will actually palpate nurse mares for free. Mm. So you need to be in talk with your vet about that and see what they can't help you out, because I understand they're trying to cut costs, but in the long run, they're hurting themselves.
Okay.
And because of that $500 to $1,000 you're paying anyways, you might as well get a pregnant mare back.
Yeah.
And you don't pay that, and you at less expense in the beginning. Okay. So we are working on some a solution and to help people who don't have teasers. And right now what we're looking at is possibly, you know, I've got my teaser, and he's done a lot of work with Rudin Rodolve. So I'm going to be bringing him in to collect him probably once or twice a week as needed. Dr. Brady Camp kind of is very kind of going to help me out do this and collect these stallions, and we'll have fresh semen ready. Mm-hmm. So if you have a nurse mare that needs to be bred, you can swing by the clinic, pick up some semen, and go breed your mare.
Very good. Okay. I'll tell you what you do, Matt. Write us out, type us out something to that effect where we can announce it every week. Jackie can announce it and help out on that, you know.
Yeah, once we have a 100% game plan and a structure on everything, we will have it. And I'll, of course, I'll get it to you, and we'll have it probably on the farm manager's website, everything on contacts to get everything, because we've got to help these nurse mares. Farms just as well as they help us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Very All good. Right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks. Well, here's what I want you to do. Pick up the March 28 edition of the Blood Horse magazine and turn to page 16. There you will find the names of breeders that have sent mares to be bred to Mizzen Mass. Whew, it's an impressive list. And he's covered more than 320 mares over the past 3 years, so he's absolutely got numbers going for him, and many are no doubt looking for an outcross for their mares. The Mizzen Mass has a pedigree that's devoid of Mr. Prospector, Northern Dancer, and Bold Ruler. Then, of course, there's what he's already accomplished as stud. He sired 7 Grade 1 winners. He sired the winners of 3 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races. He sired a champion 2-year-old. He sired a classic-winning 3-year-old. He is well-known in international racing, having sired Grade 1 winners both here and abroad, and he has had runners placed in Group 1 and Grade 3 stakes just this past weekend. He sires runners that win early and stay sound, and that have competed and won on every conceivable type of racing surface. In short, Mizzen Mass is the complete sire. He stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Sally Horse fans, well, they've been in business for a long time now, 65, 70 years, something like that. And during that time, of course, they have hauled many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's, you know, it's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top shape, and they are. But the single most important factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. And they're extremely proud of their drivers over at Sally Van, and they should be, because they're experienced drivers and they're experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. So next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the country or across the county, when you load your horse onto a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. So at Sally Van, you know, they wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why, for more than a half a century, Sally Vans have been the safest way to the winner's circle. Well, 2 of the top 3 third crop sires at Windstar Farm. Let me just start that one again. 2 of the top 3 third crop sires stand at Windstar Farm. Ranked number 1, of course, is Pioneer of the Nile. He's got the Derby favorite. 3rd on the list is Colonel John. And Colonel John is number 1 when it comes to winners. Not only that, but Colonel John's stud fee, $10,000 due in the full stands of nurses, is the lowest among the 3 leaders. Colonel John is the sire of Concave, winner of the Grade 2 Sorrento Stakes, that's at Del Mar, placed in the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante and the Grade 3 Delta Downs Princess Stakes. He is the sire of Southern Honey, winner of the Grade 3 Winning Color Stakes at Churchill and placed in the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Cup of America Stakes and the Grade 2 Prioress Stakes. I think Prioress is Grade 1 now. He's a sire of Florida Stakes winner. Here is Johnny, second in both the Juvenile Turf Stakes at Gulfstream and the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Stakes. And of 11 stakes horses in his first 2 crops now, he's siring runners. Winner of 5 stakes, among them the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby and the Grade 1 Travers, and earner of more than $1,799,000. Colonel John is by the Big Horse sire, Tis Now, his stablemate at Windstar Farm. So call Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson. Here's the number. It's an 859 number, 873-1717. Always ask about breeding incentives. And see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, moving right along, I've got Dr. Brian Walrich. Where's Michael, Brian?
He's out at the farm. He said somebody's coming to visit. He used to be an exercise rider for Charlie Whittingham. He's going to come look at horses.
Oh, okay.
Tell him about the horses, he
all
said.
All right. Yeah. All right, well, maybe he'll show up later on. I got a guest that'll... if you're listening, Michael, I have a guest at 11. Well, this is Dr. Brian Walrich. And he is had volunteered his services for old friends. How he got roped into that, I don't know. But I guess you're a nice guy. That's how you did it. Just an easy touch.
I've been talked into worse things, but it's a lot of fun to go out there. Good people, good horses.
It's a family show. We won't talk about what else should be.
Hey, did you see where they had a little strangle scare over at Maydan?
I did see that.
Yeah.
It kind of, to me, has really been blown up a little bit. I mean, you know, the horse could have been a carrier of strangles, and nobody would know, and you can be exposed to those. I mean, there's been some work in England show some horses may be carriers for life of strangles, and so you know, that horse could have been exposed to somebody that was just a carrier, probably.
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, anyway, so much for that.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a bad deal if it, you know, it had happened a week before, but you know, it's that's why a lot of the farms screen for strangles and scope the mares and even do washes, put saline in there and pull the saline back and culture that. Or you can also do what's called a PCR test where you look for DNA for the bacteria. And a lot of farms require even three of those to be negative.
Is that right?
And screen just to make sure you don't bring in those carriers because you won't know. And it's interesting because I've been in on a where we had some strangles pop up on a farm, and they're the horses that carry those the carrier strain where they can carry that for years to lifetime. That those strains of bacteria, the strangles bacteria, have different genes than the ones that may cause active disease, and sometimes you can even miss that on a PCR test, which I didn't know till I ran into that. But the lab here in town that runs the strangles PCR, they run both genes, so they can find that for you.
It's a nightmare to clean up, isn't it?
It can be bad, because I can remember flushing those horses, because I usually just flushed them with the scope, because I could look and I could aim at the pus with the saline, and yeah. I could just kind of fire hose it out, and that was always the end of the day, and it seems like it was always summer, and it was just, it wasn't a good time for anybody.
So, highly contagious.
It is, and you know, and it's rare the horse dies from strangles, but I can remember one foal that got a chest cavity infection from it, which is pretty unusual, and then it died. And then, you know, rarely, well, I can remember another mare, too. It's a brood mare that had a huge strangles abscess in her abdomen. It was, at surgery, it was unremovable, but that abscess was the size of a loaf of bread in her abdomen.
Oh, my Lord.
It was a huge abscess. So it's one of those diseases.
Did it kill her?
Had to, because there was no getting to it. She had an infection in her abdomen from the abscess. Yeah. It leaked.
Oh, that's like appendicitis or something when it burst.
It's tough. When it's so strangles, a lot of times it's sort of a nuisance disease, but when you get those bad complications, they're usually pretty serious.
Wow. Well, I hate to stray you from your chosen subject today. What else were you going to talk about?
I was going to talk about mares today and mares that bleed at falling, and because there's, you know, so got some months to go. So, and that's something is more common here. I'd only seen that a few times before I came back to Kentucky, even with mares. Usually it's after they foal that it can be any number of arteries, but usually the artery in their uterus that'll tear and bleed. And when that bleeds, it can bleed into the ligament that holds their uterus and their abdomen, and that'll bleed into that ligament. And that ligament sometimes acts like a tourniquet, but sometimes that'll rupture and they'll bleed into their abdomen, or those arteries can just tear directly and bleed into their abdomen. So it's a life-threatening problem when it occurs, and the mares are really painful with it.
Can you see it coming?
And it's more common in older mares.
Yeah.
And I don't think any studies have really shown a mare that bleeds 1 year is more like, usually those mares will get that year off, but in the future that she's more likely to bleed. But when they happen, so the pain control is always pretty tough on those mares, just because especially if it's in that ligament, because it stretches and it hurts them. But I think sometimes they just bleed so much their abdomen's distended, and that hurts them too, I think. And so we'd have to.
I guess that can be fatal too.
Oh yes, so they can then get really low. Their amount of blood can go, you know, easily a fourth of what it ought to be when you're checking, you know, just doing a blood sample to look.
Is it hard to spot?
It's pretty well with an ultrasound. It makes it nice and easy because when you scan the mare, it looks like smoke. You'll see that blood just swirl in there. In their abdomen and their intestines will float and things like that.
Yeah.
So you can, you see that swirl in the abdomen and a mare that just foaled, you pretty much know what you have.
Yeah, you're in trouble. Have you seen it this year?
I haven't this year, but it was something we'd see, you know, everybody probably see six or eight of those in the hospital during the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a common thing, and there's more in these older brood mares and it's almost all the time it's on the right-hand side, which is interesting. But what people think happens is if you're looking at the horse, the cecum, which is a big part of their large intestine, is over on the right. And so part of the thought is maybe that pushes that artery over a bit. It sort of stretches it.
Yeah.
Oh. Or maybe or that one, that artery does come off first off the aorta, so maybe there's some more stretch on it anyway. And some people have done work looking to see if copper deficiency has a role in it because – copper is important for the enzymes that make collagen, connective tissue. And so there was thought maybe if they were low in copper, then their connective tissue wasn't quite as good, and that's why they tore.
But, low in copper?
But I think it's just a
good Lord.
You know, wear and tear on the old girl's uterus, you know, having so many foals, so much stretch, those arteries probably just get a little bit strained, and that's why they bleed.
Just part of getting old.
Part of getting old, just lots of foals.
Not any related at all to colic?
Well, they will colic because of just the distension makes them colicky.
Oh, okay. That's what I, because you said the whatever.
The cecum.
The cecum was right
over.
There. Yeah.
But that's in there naturally, and it's pretty big. And you think about that, the foal keeps growing and everything else kind of stays the same. And so I know some people thought maybe as the foal turns to come out, maybe the foal kicked and kind of kicked over. And because you do see mares that, I think had some intestinal bruising from foaling just because the foal turning itself. Maybe the foal kicks that artery too and it hits it just right, makes them bleed.
Huh.
That just makes you scared to get what the horse.
I know. What if you have to turn a foal?
He comes in here every week and scares the hell out of me.
What if you have to go in there and turn one?
Well, you would be, you know, as gentle as you can to get the job done because, you know, you can tear the uterus because you sometimes see mares, you know, just as normal foalings tear their uterus, so you just want to be as careful. And you know, I was always trying to cup their foot with your hand to
there
just try and protect everything and try and
turn them that
and
way.
Make turns as much as you can, more than just kind of sharp pulls.
Yeah,
try and get them turned around because it's possible to tear things. It's pretty tough in there, but it's the other thing, when it goes bad, it goes really bad. So you have to be careful.
I tell you what, I wouldn't be a vet for anything in the world. Why do you want to be a vet?
I could be a looking at vet. I couldn't be
a looking at.
Remember, were you here when Rachel Pemstein was here?
No, ma'am.
Nah, she was our vet, and she had skinny arms, and she wasn't all that tall, and she had to turn one night for us. And you talk about hard, and she wasn't very big, but her arms were skinny, so she got her arms in there, and flipped that thing over, and there it came. But that to me is just extraordinary, turning up.
That was one we should have let go.
Well, that was most
of it. Now run me.
Who was that? Who was it?
Oh, I forget. I've been facetious.
He makes up a lot of stuff, folks. This is Cartoon Saturday.
When I was at the school, whoever student had the smallest hands, they had to do all like the pig dystocias and the goat dystocias because they could get in there and turn those little pigs and goats real easy.
Oh.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
All righty.
So are you going to Keeneland or do you stay away?
I've got some pasture work to do thanks to Mother Nature, so that's what I'm going to do today.
It's almost mowing time. Boy, the grass really came good.
Well, I've got some stuff washed up. So I've got to go clean out some fence rows.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know coming in today I looked and there is a pond. It's now a pond. And all kind of debris is washed up. And the water is always is sinking right now and it's leaving all that junk.
Right.
Somebody has to go out and
Did you see where the Walmart farm in on Greenwich, where that bridge washed out there. And they repaired it when you came over.
It's
just a culvert like everything, but it took half the road.
Oh, wait a minute. At which farm?
Womack.
Oh, way back there. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Okay. No. Well, they must have fixed it then. Yeah. They were working on it when I got there. It was just one lane when I came
through. Oh, yeah. You said, yeah. No, it was fine. Okay. Although I had to go around a bunch of gawkers. I mean, people were out, look at that, mommy. You know, and I had to get around them. They all, you know, they drive about 25.
Yeah.
And looking at the sights, you see.
So. Well, I do too.
Yeah.
Here's a creek up.
Did you know that night before last, they had a tornado in Paris.
No.
Yeah, took the roofs off some houses and stuff behind the old Walmart building.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it even rained at my place a couple nights
ago. I'm beginning to think that Paris, where we live over there, we're almost like Kansas. You know, there's always a tornado coming through there. Last year, one tore down a barn on this farm just less than three-quarters of a mile away from us. Tore the roof of it, off of it.
A couple of cupolos wound up in Kansas or somewhere. And you know, I'd say we're not living right. And that one went from Centerville to right by us. Of course, we're idiots. We were out in the side porch. Look at that window. Wow, that's really windy. Went in and, you know, the little alarm go, bing, bing, bing. It's a tornado.
So you had some, Brian, you had some damage on your farm?
Just stuff washed up. So far, I haven't got there to really look. So I'm sure there won't be anything good, like a fishing boat washed up or
nothing good.
Some old stumps.
Well, I'll tell you what washed. I spent the day before the rain was coming sowing grass seed in shady areas because we have a lot of trees. You know where that is?
Oh, mine did too.
I got in the Licking River by now.
Yeah, the fish in the elk horn are enjoying my grass seed now.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I've got to do the commercials here. Thank you, Brian.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Appreciate you coming in.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. Oh, I'm so nervous.
She won't watch a game.
I won't watch
really?
It.
No,
I can't.
She won't watch them.
I can't. It makes me sick. I get sick to my stomach. I mean, I'll tell you one, though. The last game, I was hiding in the bedroom, and Ursula's watching it. And I thought, I'll go out and get myself a Coke or something. So I walked out, and just when I walked out, the other team scored. He's sitting over there. I wish you hadn't come in here.
Well, I did.
They did. And they scored.
Get the score updates.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well,
thanks, everybody.
Okay, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. We'll see you next
week. Dr. Brian Walbridge. Well, Albertus Maximus ran a mile in 1:33.2 to take the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Handicap, set a new track record to take the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. And he retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. He was a flat runner. And his first foals are going to race at 2 this year. First crop yearling sold for up to $90,000. Albertus Maximus stands at Shadwell Farm, a home also of DeHare, Interdab, and Invisor. All three sires of graded stakes winners. DeHare's most recent stakes winner is Mamduha, winner last month of the correction at Aqueduct. In fact, she's won 5 of her 6 starts, including her last 5 in a row, and the correction was a 4th straight stakes win. Interdab has sired a solid 14% stakes horses, over 72% winners, and 15 individuals that have earned more than $100,000 each. Invisor's most recent stakes winner is Expression. She won the $100,000 Garland of Roses stakes at Aqueduct in her last start of 2014, and she's placed in 3 stakes already this year. She was beaten ahead by Mamduha in the correction, in the Interbur, and the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. She's earned over $424,000. Why don't you call Stallion Manager Ken Barnes over at Shadwell Farm? 859-224-4585. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quilla and Leather and Tack, our favorite leather and tech store. It's in Paris, Kentucky. And I noticed on Facebook that Ralph was doing a lot of foal halters and mare neck straps. And we're right in the middle of breeding season, and this is the time. And they have, of course, stallion shanks. They've got a button stop on the end of it. That's a round leather round thing that if the stallion pulls, you don't lose the shank. You're at the end of it. God help you, but it'll stop. You won't drop it. And here's one, the Kentucky Halter.
That reminds me of somebody was talking about that. I was took a mare down to Hurstland Farm many years ago, and I don't know what it was. She was fighting like hell. It was a maiden mare, and went down to breed to a horse named I Will, the son of Roman. Anyway, and Charlie Knuckles and the stud man were both had the shanks, one on each side of her, you know, and she was raising hell and everything. And Charlie looked at that guy and says, "Now, don't you let me, I'll pull you."
That's funny. Well, you won't lose this stallion shank. See, if I had, but anyway, you know what a Kentucky halter is? Double buckle English chin, triple stitch nose. Now, that'll be on a quiz later. But anyway, he really is, he's great. He's got a lot of figure eight full halters, and he's got the regular full halters. And tonight, I want to say something about Rooster Brew before I get finished. Rooster Brew is Kentucky versus the world night at Rooster Brew. They're going to be watching the game and quaffing a few beers and 100 bottles of beer on the wall at Rooster Brew. So you want to go someplace for a fun time to watch the game. That'd be fun.
It would.
Yeah, it's Quillin.com, Quillin.com. And the 800 number is 729-0592.
Well, March 28 at the fairgrounds, the Grade II $750,000 Louisiana Derby was won by International Star, a 3-0 colt by Fusi Ichipegasus on the Derby Trail. International Star has earned over $1 million. That day at the fairgrounds, High Tie by Fusi Ichipegasus won the Costa Rising Stakes, and he's earned more than $919,000. Fusi Ichipegasus currently ranks 8th on the North American sire list. On the same card, the Grade II $400,000 Fairgrounds Oaks went to I'm a Chatterbox, a 3-0 filly from the first crop by Munnings. Munnings, the nation's number one ranked second crop sire. A couple of races earlier, the Crescent City Derby was won by Four Leaf Chief, a 3-year-old from the first crop by Looking at Lucky. Looking at Lucky ranks second only to Munnings among all second crop sires. And on March 29th, Celestine, a 3-year-old filly by Scat Daddy, won Gulfstream Sanibel Island Handicap. At Gulfstream, going back to Saturday, the Grade 3 Pan American Stakes went to Imaging by Giants Causeway. Imaging has earned nearly $1,100,000. Giants Causeway, the leading juvenile sire in 2014, has topped the North American sire list 3 times. Fusi Ichipegasus, Money, Scat Daddy, Giants Causeway all stand at Ashford Stud. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and take a look at the website, coolmore.com. All righty, we are back. And Jackie, you want to take a look at the...
Did you leave your Saturday form at home?
Yes, I did.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay, I got some announcements.
Okay.
Okay.
Do some announcements.
Masterson... Of course, everybody knows Mount Masterson Park out here on Leestown. It's a really, really awesome thing to have in central Kentucky. It's, I don't know how many acres it is, but they've got 2 levels of cross-country jumps. They've got dressage rings. They've got trails. They've got cross-country every which way. They've got jumping rings, and it's wonderful. Now, tomorrow, the 5th, is the cross-country phase of the Spring Bay Horse Trials. Now, the Spring Bay, jeez. Anyway, the dressage and the jumping is at the horse park. But tomorrow, the cross-country trials are at Masterson. 4/12, that's 2 weeks, the following 2 weeks after that. They've got the Masterson Equestrian Trust awesome cross-country schooling day. So you can go out and just gallop around. They really do take, you know, they have a lot of volunteers that go out there and help take care of the grounds and the jumps, and they keep it up really nice. Now, April 18th and 19th, it's the Masterson Equestrian Trust Benefit Hunter Jumper Show. That's the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's great. All right, the Kentucky Horse Park, speaking of which, the Kentucky Horse Park is going to honor Cigar with a statue. Cigar died October 7th, and they've got a guy named Blumberg who will be doing it. He's an artiste. And it's going to be at his gravesite at the Hall of Champions. That's kind of fun. That's nice. Okay, like we said, Keeneland Library Lecture Series presents the Iroquois Hunt, Bluegrass Fox Hunting Tradition. Glennie and Christopher Oakford were here earlier, and they just gave us a little couple of tidbits from that book, and it just sounds wonderful. It's more about, it's as much about the hunt and the people in early Lexington, which is fascinating because Lexington's changed a lot.
Amen.
So it's Tuesday, April 14th at the Keeneland Library, 6:30 to 8:30. Food. They will have food and signed. They're going to sign some books. You know what would be? That's a wonderful Christmas present or something for somebody.
Yeah.
Get a signed one of these books. You look like you're ready to jump in on me and say something, are you?
Okay.
Oh, well, that wasn't an invitation.
Okay, well, Smart Strike twice topped the North American sire list, and his sons at stud, notably Curlin, English Channel, Looking at Lucky, are doing very well. With the passing of a Smart Strike, breeders would do well to take a good look at Dominus. Dominus, a versatile multiple graded stakes winner by Smart Strike. Dominus stands at Spendthrift Farm. That's a farm which has established a solid reputation, developing successful sires. Into Mischief, Flying of David, Temple City, Warriors Reward, all with major stakes horses in their first crops to race. Dominus, after sprinting 7 furlongs and 1:22.2 to break his maiden at Santa Anita, won the historic Grade 2 Dwyer on the dirt at Belmont, and he also won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch over Saratoga's grass. He sprinted 7 furlongs on the dirt at Saratoga and won 1:22.2, placed in graded stakes at Churchill and at Saratoga. His dam, Quandro, by Lord of War, won a place in 9 stakes, 5 graded. And she's a half-sister to the multiple grade 1 winner, Honey Rider. Honey Rider earned more than $2,784,000. Top family, top-class family, loaded with graded stakes winners. For more information, get in touch with Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, and Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about breeding incentives. See the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, I want to talk about a couple of products that I think are very, very good ones, Lubricin and Reborn. Lubricin, both were incidentally developed by Steve Alday and are endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, are all natural and test-free. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it can be of great help reducing costs for acid injections and so forth like that. It's used by such trainers as Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrell and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker, just to name a few of them, you know. They also have Lubricin for humans and tastes pretty good. I use it and it helps me get out of bed in the morning. I'll talk about where you can get these products here in just a minute. Now, Reborn is a 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, it's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. Start with foals. It strengthens the foal's immune system while nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And actually, it supports immune function in horses of all ages. I know Wise Dan ran on it, and it was a whole bunch of horses have, as a matter of fact. Well, for more information about these two products, let me give you a number. It's an 800 number, 901-9498. And Lubricin.com is the website, and Reborn, Reborne.com is the website for that one. And you can pick them up at KBC here in Lexington or Horse Sense down in Versailles. And I'm pretty sure that they carry the one for humans, the Lubricin, over at Old France. That's Lubricin and Reborn, two very, very good products. With 2-year-olds by Broken Vow, sold for an average of $291,000 this year. 5 were offered, 5 sold. Broken Vow has established a record for siring runners, 28 stakes horses last year, 19 the year before, 28 the year before that, more than 125 stakes horses, 64 stakes winners, 11 last year, 4 champions. He's the most successful son of sire, sire's unbridled stud in North America. Stands for $25,000 of pin oak stud, home also of the stallions Alternation and Cowboy Cattle. Now, Alternation is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by champion side that started Humor, and he comes from the same female family as Broken Vow. First foals are arriving this year, and they are knockouts. He stands for a fee of $7,500. Cowboy Cal currently ranks among the leading third crop sires. He has sired six stakes horses, including a Group 2 winner in his first crop, and he's a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by champion sire Giant's Causeway. Cowboy's Cal, $5,000. All stud fees are due when the foal stands and nurses. And take note of this. Any breeder of any two-year-old maiden special winner from the first three crops for Alternation will receive an award of 10% of the winner's purse. Call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. What's your name?
Brandon. I'm his assistant.
Brandon what? McFarland. Oh, I knew a bunch of McFarlands.
Where are you from?
Maryland.
Oh.
We'll be with you in about 5 minutes.
Maryland McFarland.
You want to do those?
Yeah, let me do a couple more. Let's see. The HBPA, Keeneland, and Churchill have formed a partnership to support Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. They're trying to get member owners of HBPA to pony up $5 for each of their horses that start in races. Now, you wouldn't think anybody'd fuss over five measly bucks. Anyway, we hope that works. They had in 2012, $2.4 million in grants to accredited agencies. They are really doing a good job, so surely somebody would pony up five stinking dollars when they're running. 2015 Kentucky Derby Trainers Dinner is Tuesday, April 28th, cocktails at 6, dinner at 6:45 at the Hyatt in Louisville. Jill Byrne and Paul Rogers will host. Single tickets, $160. So think, if you go absolutely stone hungry empty, can you eat $160 worth in an hour? That's the question. Now, if you want to make reservations, 259-1643. Like I said today, Hunter Jumper Complex Spring Bay Horse Trials. Today is dressage and stadium jumping. And tomorrow, cross country will be at Masterson. Let's see. Thursday, April 9th through April 11th, it's a Kentucky Spring Premier Horse Show. I got a big fat feeling that's Saddlebreds. But you can check. German Shepherd Show is Saturday, April 11th to Sunday, April 12th at the campgrounds. If you want to buy a dog, that's where the dogs are. Oh, my God. The United States Mounted Games Association, Saturday, April 11th through Sunday, April 12th at the Rolex Stadium. Here's the biggie. The biggie, biggie, biggie. Rolex. Oh, my God. Rolex is here April 23rd, Thursday through Sunday, April 26th. That's a four-day, three-day.
Yeah, and I know. I always wondered about that.
Yeah, I know.
It's 3 days. And 4 days to run a three-day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because I think the extra day is the cross-country. Yeah. Because
hoping they're not wearing watches.
They will be Rolex watches.
Of course. Dope.
It's Cartoon Saturday. Okay. So... 254-8123. They run shuttles from town. They do everything to get people out there. It's a wonderful thing. We all love Rolex. I always try to go on Sunday because friends who have a mare we trained from Michigan always come down here. You're doing the cut my throat sign.
Yeah.
Can I do one more thing real quick, which is wonderful?
All right.
The other wonderful, really fun thing is the High Hope Steeplechase. It's the week of Preakness. It's the Sunday after Preakness, whatever day that is. Scheduled for May 17th. They are having a Bluegrass Farm Pony Challenge. I have wanted them to do pony races for years. These are kids on ponies. Local sponsor will be sponsor a child rider ages 8 to 13. Pony Club member 14, two hands or under, and they will wear the silks of the farm their representative. Ooh, two races, one flat and one jumping. One furlong each, run at a trot. Now, the real betting thing is, how are they going to keep them at a trot? That'll be interesting. They're going to have a pre-race Calcutta, and it will be right before the first sanctioned steeplechase. So, that's I wouldn't miss that for the world.
Kids are jumping?
Yes, yeah. The kids on ponies are jumping, and there's a non-jumping race and a jumping race. Oh, these kids can flat ride.
Hey, Chris. Tell Jamie Bruin it's time to shave that damn beard off.
Carson said you need to shave, so we're all going to take up a collection and get you
right. Well, they run big and they sell big. Macho Uno.
We can do that.
2015 2-year-olds by Macho Uno have sold for $310,000, $260,000, and of course they don't run much bigger than Macho Uno's brilliant Mucho Macho Man. He won the Grade One Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade One Awesome Again, and over $5,625,000. Or how about Private Zone? 2 times winner of one of North America's most prestigious sprints, the Grade One Vosburgh, and of over $1 million. Or Macho Again, winner of Churchill's Grade One Stephen Foster and of more than $1,825,000. No, Wicked Style, winner of the Grade One Breeders for Tour de Keene, and of such top class graded stake winners, Macho Macho, Overheard, Macho Mas Macho, Potesta, Harlem Rocker, K's and J's, Celcita, Ptolemyo, and we can go on and on. What? Eclipse Award winner Macho Uno, champion 2-year-old of his year, earned over $1,851,000. He was a runner himself. Comes as no surprise that he sires runners and that there is a demand for his progeny at the sales. Stands at Edina Springs, Kentucky. Get in touch with Cormac Brethner or Jack Brothers, 859-987-1798. See the website at AdinaStallions.com.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, LM Communications Broadcasting Station, LM Communications, 2014 Lexington Small Business of the Year.
Well, First Crop 2-year-olds by Haynesfield have sold for an average of $177,333 this year. Horsemen are high on them, and so are the people over at Market Watch. He is one of three with First Crops to race this year, picked to head the freshman sire list. So his 2-year-olds looking to act like runners, and he's received quality mares every year since his retirement. He was also a superior runner. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced. Defeated the likes of champion Blame the day Blame won the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Whoops, the day that Haynesfield won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And he earned more than $1,319,000. Excuse me. He's by champion Spitestown. Sire this past weekend of another Group 1 winner when Tamakas won the Group 1 $1 million Godolphin Mile. And he's out of a mare that won a place in 6 stakes, including Grade 2 stakes, from a family loaded with top-class graded stakes ones. Haynesfield, 10,000 live fold to Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to raising profit. All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour now of... of Horse Tales, and my scheduled guest, Dane Kubisky, took off from Maryland. So we've been...
Was he shackled, or did he...
No, it was actually an emergency that he had to go back for.
Well, okay. In that case...
His bookie wanted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So sitting in for him is Brendan McFarlane, who is his assistant, and he is also from Maryland. And thanks for coming in, Brendan, filling in the gap here.
Yep, no problem.
Okay. I don't know any much about you two guys. I know that Dane used to ride races. You look like you're a little big to be riding races.
Yeah, I actually never been on a horse.
Never been on a horse?
Never.
Guy's smarter than the average bear.
Never been on one.
Yeah. Well, you're from Maryland. How'd you manage to avoid that?
School, busy, sports.
Okay.
I'm a gambler.
Oh, are you?
That's how I got into the game.
Is that really? What got you interested in racing?
Mm-hmm. I've been following races, gambling for years and years. I actually been doing the morning line odds for Pimlico, the Preakness, day before for 7 years.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Huh.
A real one.
What part?
Of Vegas a few times.
What part of Maryland are you from?
Baltimore.
Okay, so you're Laurel, Pimlico.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Those were your. That's your stomping.
That's my home.
Yeah. How about Bowie? You ever been by the old Bowie?
We actually, when I first started working for him, we were there for 2 years. at Bowie.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just actually in a next month or two, they're shutting down.
They just train there.
It's just a training center now, but they're actually shutting it down.
Oh, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they opened up Pimlico year-round training and they'll have Laurel.
I know some people from up there. Josh Pons what's the name of their farm there? Stud farm up there. Well, I can't remember it right now. That's where Malibu Moon was first retired, and then they brought him down here.
Ah.
Yeah. Is your family interested in racing?
No, my dad gambles a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah. When did you first start going to
the
race?
You're the bad seed.
You're the bad seed.
Yeah, I graduated from Towson, and I set all my classes early so I could be at post.
Oh, funny.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Really is into it, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
wow.
Yeah. Once I turned 18, I pretty much just started really following it.
Yeah. So you then did...
I mean, before I did, too, but once I turned 18, I just...
Was your first racetrack job with Wayne, or...?
With Dane, yeah.
With Dane,
The first day, I never had touched a horse.
Is that right? Never had?
Never had touched a horse.
Yeah, you just threw your money at him.
I met him through the track. I mean, he used to come and I'd give him some picks. He used to bet a couple thousand on.
Yeah.
So that's how I met him.
Did you ever watch him ride?
Yeah, I do remember him riding.
Yeah.
He was all right.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Chris Crow over here is a clocker right now, and he knew him real well.
Yeah.
And they said he rode right around here some, but mostly, is that right, Chris, up in Maryland?
Mostly in Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he rode his bug out here. Buggier, Turfway, and
uh-huh.
Ellis, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever ride him, Chris?
No.
No? Okay.
Why not?
Well, how long have you been training?
He's been training for about 6 years.
Is that right? And you've been, how long have you been with him?
I've been with him for just under
3 years now.
Just under three.
Yeah. Well, you've learned a little bit in that time.
Oh, yeah.
Then. Yeah. Yeah, you know how to use a pitchfork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to hit the employees with that.
Yeah.
That's what those are good for.
Yeah, there you go. You enjoying it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? What's he doing here? What are y'all doing down here now?
Well, he wanted to get out of Maryland a little bit. I mean, he's got 50 in Maryland, older ones.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he's got 50 in Maryland, and he's got, right here, we got 19, all two-year-olds.
All two-year-olds?
All two-year-olds.
You going to cut anything loose at Keeneland?
Maybe one or two.
Are you betting on them?
Well, we'll find out.
Well,
You'll see the odds board change.
I don't want to find out after the fact.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Has your handicapping gotten better or worse since you're working on a backstretch now and actually seeing them?
Honestly, it's not. It's about the same.
Is it really? So yeah, it had an influence? Really,
no, not a whole lot. I mean, knowing a couple people and knowing how they train, maybe. But besides that, it's all in the form.
Hmm. Had you ever been to Keeneland before?
You ever been bankrupt?
Of course. I'm bankrupt right now.
Okay.
I hope you guys are paying me.
No, but she's done some bankrupt. She's a lawyer, so
oh, okay. There
you go. I know your case.
She's all hustling right, here. Have you been out to Keeneland yet?
We came out.
Of course, they canceled races yesterday, but go ahead.
Well, that's because of me.
Yeah.
First race I got out there was the seventh race.
Oh.
I didn't even watch a horse run.
If you got out there the first six, you could have, but not the seventh. They canceled after
so
the
I
six.
Got out there just in time.
Well.
But no, you know me. I went up, bet some Gulfstream.
Okay.
Very happy.
Why make a trip for nothing?
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, are you single?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you.
You need to marry somebody.
Well, I got it. It's pretty much 6 days. I'm busy, and then one day I got time.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Not a whole lot of girls like that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a little bit now. All these 2 year olds down there, they're all for the same person?
Yes, he's got one owner, PTK. It's a husband, wife, Pat and Tom, and the daughter, Caitlin.
King, you said his last
name? Caitlin. PTK. That's what it's. It's PTK LLC.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so one owner for every horse, Maryland, here, on the farms, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you got a farm here?
No, not here. It's in Virginia. That's where they're from. But
you're originally from Virginia?
No, no, the owners.
The owners.
Oh, the owners. Okay.
Yeah, and they just been recently, last 2 years, coming to Keeneland to buy babies.
Uh-huh. Good.
Before it was pretty much Timonium and Maryland sales, but now they're getting out.
How long have you all been in Kentucky?
Here, this meet. We've been here for 3 weeks.
Were you here at previous meet?
He's been here before. Dane's been here.
Yeah, how about you?
I've never been here.
Okay, what do you think of it?
It's all right. It's sort of boring, but...
Kind of boring?
I don't really fit in too well. I went out to a bar last week. I was wearing my red, and I think I was the only one in red.
Oh, my God. You could have been murdered.
I think they were looking to do it. And that was the night Kentucky played.
Oh, well, they weren't playing Maryland.
No, thank God.
No.
the Terps played the Hicks. Maryland played West Virginia.
Yeah, and they beat us.
The Terps and the Hicks.
Ah. They beat us, too.
Yeah, well, we took care of West Virginia for you.
Well, how about Wisconsin?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to be a great game.
I was actually at the Wisconsin-Maryland game a month ago in Maryland, and we beat them.
Yeah. You beat Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, pay
so
attention.
Good luck.
Do you bet on anything besides horses?
I'll bet on two flies going up the wall.
Okay, so what is your pick for tonight?
I say Wisconsin.
Uh-oh.
Moneyline, I think they went out right.
That's, you mean with the points? Kentucky's a five-point favorite.
Yeah, I think they went out right, though.
Oh, you think they went out right?
Mm-hmm. Bet the money line.
Well, you might be right. The law averages going to catch up with us sooner or later.
See, this is on radio. It's good it's not on TV. Otherwise, I'd be probably murdered.
Yeah,
saying that.
Exactly. Well, are you living up here in the tack room since you've been here 3 weeks? Or where are you? What are you doing?
We got an apartment, I think, on Newtown Pike. Is it Newtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's a nice little spot.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. That's not too far either.
Is Wayne married? Dwayne?
Dane.
Dane married.
Dane.
Yeah, Dane. Yeah,
that's everybody has name. Trouble with that name.
D-A-I-N-E.
D-A-N-E.
D-A-N-E.
Just Dane.
Oh, just D-A-N-E. D-A-N-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard of that
before.
They
gave it to me wrong.
Oh, everybody says Dana, everything, but it's just Dane.
Yeah, well, I don't remember him riding around here, but, I never pay much attention to riders anyway.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Yeah. Well, as a gambler, you should. Hey, I got to take a little break here. March 28 at Gulfstream, the great $350,000 Appleton Stakes was won by war correspondent, a son of Warfront. Bred and raised at Claven Farm for Joseph Allen. War correspondent has never been out of the money in 8 starts. With 4 wins, then he ran a mile of 134-4 to win the Appleton. He's just the latest in a long list of stakes winners by Warfront. 4 more already this year. Warfront stands at Claven Farm, a home also of the grade one winner, Datalink. Datalink broke his maiden as a 2-year-old in New York, then went on to win 4 graded stakes and over $831,000. He won the grade one Maker's Mark Mile at Keeneland, the grade two Citation Handicap at Hollywood Park, the grade two Mammoth Stakes, and the grade three Canadian Turf, that's at Gulfstream, and placed in 3 more graded stakes. Datalink is out of stakes winner database, a half-sister to 3 stakes producers, among them the grade one winner, Hymn Book, and his first 4s arriving with excellent reviews. He stands at Claven Farm for $7,500. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. Inquires at Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at clavenfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about Hill and Reagan Parker, my good friends that are in the real estate business. Of course, Hill has trained horses. That's where I first met him. He was out here training horses, but excellent horseman, a grade A pony clubber, which is where most of our Olympic riders come from, and is an excellent horseman, and he's a great real estate agent, he and his wife, Reagan. And like I said, they've been over 12 years experience in the real estate business now. Now, I'll give you their website in just a minute. It's a fun website to go to because they've got an outstanding variety of farms, locations, sizes, and prices for sale right now. If you're looking for a farm, well, they can help you find the perfect farm just for you. I mean, they'll keep going till they get it done. And the same thing if you want to list your farm, they really work with you, and I know people that they've done some business with that are just delighted with the services that they've got. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Here's a website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. And right now, oh, they've got a place right up the road here on the Paris Lexington Road. It's a beautiful place. One over on Mount Horb, one over on the Russell K Road in Bourbon County. Another place over in Versailles, Carpenter Pike. Outstanding horse farm. 33 acres, 21 stalls, board fencing. It's a gorgeous place. So why don't you go to their website? It's LexHorseFarms.com, LexHorseFarms.com. And here's their phone number. It's 859-608-8039, 608-8039 in Lexington. Well, Spitestown sat another home run winner last weekend when Tamarkoz won the Group 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile. He sat right at 65 stakes winners and is ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list four times. One of Spitestown's fastest and most versatile sons is Country Day. He won sprints on dirt, grass, and artificial, could run on anything, won a place in 8 stakes, including the Grade 2, it's now Grade 1, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and earned over $500,000. Country Day's dam was also a superior runner, a greatest stakes winner by nearly $300,000 by the top sire Mount Livermore. She's produced 3 stakes winners, including Good Deed, a filly that set a new track record this year at the fairgrounds. Speed Family, also a sire family. It's a family of Aladar and Grand Slam. First foals for Country Day are receiving rave reviews. Their yearlings this year, he stands for $3,500, doing a full stanza nurses over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Give him a call, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, I'm talking to a gambler over here, Brandon McFarlane from Maryland.
Yeah, let's get down to tips here. And be serious.
Yeah, well, okay. I used to gamble a little bit back when I was single, but once I got married, I had to stop.
Stop thinking clearly is what happened when he got married.
I couldn't cash a ticket. It was my problem. But what other tracks have you been to now, you yourself, other than the Maryland tracks?
Training, we took 15 to Tampa last winter.
Oh, okay.
And besides Maryland, I've only been to here in Tampa.
Okay.
And that was nice down there.
Yeah, you like Tampa Bay?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, that was a good place to winter. It's not as crazy as
Gulfstream. Gulfstream is just so crowded with people.
Yeah, the last time I was in Florida, we spent winter down in Gulfstream.
I haven't been to Gulfstream. I want to, though.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since I was there. I mean, I was way a long time ago when I was on a racetrack. But Gulfstream, I've been to Hialeah. Because it's just quarter horses now.
Quarters now.
Yeah. What do you think? How do you like the training center?
Training centers are nice. I like it. Some kooky people here, but.
No, I'm shocked. I say shocked.
Well, there aren't any on the racetrack, you know.
No, I haven't seen them yet.
It's like church camp here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the people here are here year round because they own property here and everything, and they're a lot of the smaller trainers, you know,
yeah.
And they do something else and they're training for fun. But it's going to fill up here pretty quick, you know.
Oh, I'm sure I think it's full now.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, because I mean, he tried to get more stalls and we can't get any.
Is that right?
The mm-hmm. big barn's open. I think.
Oh, maybe they're. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh? They've got it rented.
Is that right?
Be darn.
The whole damn barn.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Wow. As of April 1st.
We were out here many, many years. Jack and I used to train.
For years.
We bred our own, raced our own. Oh, lost okay. a lot of money doing the way.
Yeah, why not?
Had fun,
that's
huh?
the idea, isn't
yeah,
it?
We had fun.
It's not. I think that's fun. It. Yeah, I drive by sometimes in the summer and look and think, oh, gee, I'd love to go back. And then I drive by in the winter and I go, you're an idiot. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, Brandon, who's going to win the bluegrass?
I say the favorite's gonna win.
Are you?
Fletcher's gonna win.
Yeah. Well,
I give Ocho Ocho one more shot. Possibly. Yeah. He ran against my Derby horse, Dortmund, last race.
Ah.
You like Dortmund?
Oh yeah, I bet him out in Vegas.
Have you met Amelia Fouillon? She bred Dorfman.
Oh, really? Dorfman. Yeah, you have to meet her. She's a hoot.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I bet him in Vegas. That was my Derby pick this year.
Okay. What kind of odds did you get on him?
20-1.
Well, that's pretty. You're not going to get it Saturday. I mean, first Saturday in May.
No.
Got a great stride on him, hadn't he?
Big.
Big long.
Yeah, when he ran the other day, I saw her working or something. I can't remember. I saw it on television. The horse that he was going with had to take maybe an extra stride every 3 or 4 strides. It was very quick.
Oh, the workout.
Dorfman, yeah. Dorfman's,
I did see that.
Stride was so much bigger. He doesn't have to move it as many times as a lot of other horses do.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a professional handicapper on here pretty quick.
Well, I guess you're a professional handicapper.
Well,
what do you put on your tax forms when they say occupation?
Gamblers
don't pay taxes, don't you know that?
You go to the track, you walk around, you collect tickets, and those are your losses.
Okay. There you go. Absolutely.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
I would never do that.
I hope the IRS is not listening to this. No. You better hope the IRS is not listening.
I'm getting murdered. You better lock me up tonight then.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well, I got
to. Well, where do you go from here? How long do you expect to be here other than winter?
The plan is stay here till maybe, November and then go to either New Orleans or down Gulfstream.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's nice. Have you been to Keeneland, Churchill yet?
Nope, never.
How about Turfway? You'll be looking at Turfway.
I took a road trip up Turfway last week.
Yeah? What'd you think?
It was okay.
Empty?
No, it was a big day. It was when they had
the spiral.
Yeah, the spiral.
The spiral. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crowded place. So I grew up there, and there weren't 1/10 of the people up there when I lived there.
It was now a good crowd
that
day.
Now it's like a beehive.
Oh, you mean not the track?
No, not the track, the area. The area. It's just really
crowded. Built it up. I know that.
Yeah, they're slamming houses on the side of cliffs.
Yeah.
It's insane. So, but anyway.
She's from Northern Kentucky.
And now, where will you run in the summer? You got anything to go in Indiana?
Probably not. Last year we had one Indiana bred, and she ran up there a few times, but I'd say pretty much Churchill, and then I guess Ellis,
yeah. Ellis has got good barbecue.
Do they?
Just remember, barbecue, yes.
I don't forget food. I don't remember that.
Yeah. That's great barbecue.
Yeah, it's down at Owensboro. That's where Best Kentucky Barbecue is, right down that spot. So.
Well, all right, Brendan, thank you for coming by and filling in.
No problem.
I appreciate it. Brendan McFarland. I knew a bunch of McFarlands. I grew up on a horse farm, and the stud manager was named McFarland. Kelly McFarland.
Good.
Boy, was he Irish.
Yeah. Are you Irish on both sides?
I'm a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of everything.
Kind of like me, a little on the Mongol side.
Oh, yeah.
Heinz, 64 varieties or whatever it is. Yeah. Oh, look, something loose. Uh-oh. Somebody went out to lunge and or jip a horse out there, out in the field, and it just decided.
We didn't lose a rider.
It wouldn't. It's not a rider. It's somebody was on the end of that shank.
Yeah. Lunging out there on a jip rope. Okay.
Jip rope, they used to call it. Did you ever hear that?
No.
That's the guys who put their horse on a lunge line because they didn't have enough money to pay an excise.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it was called a jip rope. So now you know.
All right.
I know now.
Well, okay, Brendan, thank you.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming by.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, here's what I want you to do. Pick up the March 28 edition of the Blood Horse Magazine and turn to page 16. There you find the names of breeders that have sent mares to be bred to Mizzen Mass. It's an impressive list. He's covered more than 320 mares over the past 3 years. Many are no doubt looking for an outcross for their mares, and Mizzen Mass fills the bill. He's got a pedigree devoid of Mr. Prospector, Northern Dancer, and Bull Willer. You look long and hard to find another stallion with that. And, of course, there's what he's already accomplished as stud. He has sired 7 Grade 1 winners. He has sired. The winners are 3 Grade 1, Breeders' Cup races. He has sired a champion two-year-old. He has sired a classic-winning three-year-old. He's well-known in international racing. He has sired Grade 1 winners here and abroad. And he has had runners placed in Group 1 stakes and Grade 3 stakes just this past weekend. He sires runners that win early, that stay sound, and then have competed and won on every conceivable type of racing surface. And Short Mizzen Mass is a complete sire. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Erin Fry. 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on my products from McCauley Brothers won four stakes, three graded stakes over this past weekend. Two of them with a value of $1 million. The $1 million Florida Derby winner, Materiality, was bred by John Gunther. Finishing second was Upstart, incidentally. And Upstart was bred by Mrs. Gerald Nielsen, another valued customer of McCauley Brothers. So they finished 1-2 in the Florida Derby. That same day, the Group 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile was won by Tamarkas. And Tamarkas was also bred by John Gunther. To breed the winners of two $1 million races on the same day, boy, that's some kind of an accomplishment. The third graded stakes winner of the day was Commissioner, winner of Gulfstream's Grade 3 Skip Away Stakes. Commissioner was bred by Windstar Farm. In France, at St. Cloud, the Prix Aminum was won by Green Sweet, raised at Haggard Farm, right up here on the Lexington Paris Road, for Wertheimer and Freer. Congratulations to all. The count now stands at 42. 42 stakes won already this year by horses raised on McCauley products. 24 were graded stakes and 4 of them were grade 1. So call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the McCauley products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website, MacaulayBros.com, and you're always welcome to stop by the office of 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form is on your newsstands right now. Got some wonderful articles in it. John Sparkman is writing about Prince Bishop, who won the Dubai World Cup. Need to look into that a little bit, the family of that horse. Need to read that. Jay Hoveday has always got his program in there, his column. He's one of my favorite writers. He's writing about Tom Proctor, who has moved to the Fair Hill Training Center in Maryland. That's Willard Proctor's son. Willard was a Hall of Fame trainer. And Joe Nevels and Nicole Russo are writing about Smart Strike and his record at stud. Of course, he passed away just the other day at age 23. You get your past performances there in the Daily Racing Form and Racing's Bible. And here's what I want you to do, though, to get that breeding edition, the Daily Racing Form breeding update. What you go to is drf.com/breeding update and sign up today. And it's free. Can't go wrong there. In fact, you can't go wrong reading a Daily Racing Form. They've got great people writing for them because it's Racing's, as I said, Racing's Bible. It's a Daily Racing Form. drfbreeding.com.
Sally Vance, they're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vance has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty, well, they're going to race at Keeneland today. And they had to cancel yesterday. Boy, I've never seen rain like this. I've been living around here for a long time. And I have the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, that's Steve Moody. And, of course, it's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services, and you can buy it. Well, go to the website, BRIS.com, and pick up your copy and of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. Running a bunch of stakes out there today. Let's go with the Bluegrass Stakes first. I know you don't have time to do them all, but we'll do the Bluegrass Stakes, Steve, and then give us another one that you think's a good betting race. How's that?
All right, Ursel. The bluegrass run for the 91st time today, and of course, this will be the first time it's been run 4 weeks before the Derby. It's been moved back a week this year, and on the first Saturday of the meet, and it's drawn a. It's drawn a field of 8 3-year-olds for this year's running. The track, amazingly, is listed as fast this morning after all that downpour we've had the last day and a half. And they're off the turf. The first two races are off the turf. The last one, the stake race, the Shakertown, is still on the turf rated as soft. But in the bluegrass, a field of 8 and very very well matched group. I think that you can make a case for nearly everyone in here. I settled on the shipper from the West Coast, Ursel, Ocho. This colt was a perfect 3-for-3 last year as a 2-year-old. Was sent off at 4-to-1 in the San Felipe about a month ago, but ran into trouble early in that race and never really got much of a chance. I just think you got to kind of throw that race out. He figures to get a good trip from the inside today. He'll be running from off the pace, and I'm going to give him a chance to pull just kind of a mild upset. He's 6-to-1. On the morning line. I doubt seriously if you're going to get that. I know they're going to bet on Carpe Diem, but I don't think Ocho will be 6-to-1. Probably be, I would say, in the about half of that, maybe a 4-to-1 at post time. Carpe Diem, of course, the one to beat, even money, comes out of an impressive win in the Tampa Bay Derby. Was a winner in his only previous start at Keeneland over this now dirt surface, and definitely going to be the one to beat. He's going to be running late for Todd Pletcher. John Velasquez has the mount. And then another little bit of a price, the two-horse Gorgeous Bird. Didn't really have the late punch in the Fountain of Youth last time, but I expect him to be better today, and I think he can be kind of get a minor share for Ian Wilkes and Brian Hernandez. So we're going to go 1-5-2 in the 91st running of the Bluegrass.
Okay, one. What was it? 1-5-2.
1-5-2.
1-5-2. Okay, very good. Rusty's over here taking notes. Okay, pick me out one of those other stakes.
All right, well, let's go ahead and go with the Shakertown. We've got a big field in there. That's the 8th race. The Bluegrass is the 10th. The Ashland's the 9th. 8th is the Shakertown. This race is scheduled for the turf. The turf rated soft. 5.5 furlong sprint. Field of 13 in here. And I think the kind of the ones to beat are on the outside in here. You got a bunch of speed in the race. I think it'll set up for somebody that can sort of stalk and then, and make a run. I'm going to give a little bit of an edge to the 12 horse, Tight End Touchdown. His last race was on the dirt. That's just a complete throw out. I think that he's on the surface that he likes today. He's got the right running style. He can sort of track the leaders along the outside. Won't be, I don't think, very far off of them. And hopefully he can come and get them down through the stretch run. 5-to-1 on the morning line. Jason Service is the trainer. Joe Bravo has the mount. I'm going to give him the edge over the three-horse Zebros, who's 8-to-1 in the morning line. His only turf race, he never looked back. He went right to the front. and just drew off for Wayne Lucas, Paco Lopez, the mount here. And he ran a big race that only started over the Keeneland course. So I think you got to take a good look at him at 8-1. He'll be breaking from the three post. And then back to the outside for the favorite, undrafted, 5-2. This is a gelding by Purim for Wesley Ward. John Velasquez has the mount. He's got he's able to rate as well. So this is a good betting race. It will go on the grass. We're going to go 12-3-13 in the Shaker Town.
Okay, Steve. Well, who's going to win the game tonight?
Well, we gotta stick with the boys in blue. I think, Ursel. I think Wisconsin is better than they were a year ago, but I think so are we. And you know, we didn't have Willie last year, and he's going to be there this year. And you know, we managed to get by. Hopefully, won't be quite as much of a nail biter tonight as it was a year ago. But we'll take it, whether it's a 1 or 21.
What's the spread right now?
5.
5 points. Okay. Oh well, I'm nervous already. Jackie's she retreats to the.
I hide.
She hides. She won't watch them.
Ressi is all full of confidence over here, though. He thinks it's just nothing to worry about. I hope he's right.
Yeah, well, he really, you talk about breeding blue, he really does. Okay. All right, Steve, it's been Steve Moody, who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and go to the website, BRIS.com, Brisnet, BRIS.
There you go.
Net.com, and you can pick up that Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. It's a good tool. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you. And I hope we're all happy about the ball games next week.
All right. Sounds good, Ursula.
All right. Well, Albertus Maximus ran a mile in 1:33.2 to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Handicap, set a new track record when the day he won the Windy Sands Handicap. That's at Del Mar. Retired with earnings of over $1,328,000. He was a flat runner. First Floor's going to race this year. And his first crop yearling sold for up to $90,000 last year. Albertus Maximus stands at Shadwell Farm. That's the home also of De Hare, Interdab, and Invisor, all three sires of graded stakes winners. De Hare's most recent stakes winner is Mamduha, winner last month of the Correction Handicap at Aqueduct. She has won 5 of her 6 starts, her last 5 in a row, and the Correction was a 4th consecutive stakes victory. Interdab has sired a solid 14% stakes horses, over 72% winners, and 15 individuals that earn more than $100,000 each. Invisor's most recent stakes winner is Expression. She won the $100,000 Garland of Roses at Aqueduct to close out 2014, and she's placed in 3 stakes already this year. She was beaten just ahead by Mamduha in the Correction. She ran also 2nd in the Interborough, and she was placed in the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie at Law. She's earned over $424,000. So call Stallion Manager Ken Barnes at Shadwell Farm, 859-224-4585. Ask about breeding incentives. See the website, shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Well, the astute horseman David and Gorda, among the many runners David has selected at sales, is the great Zenyatta. Well, David went to $560,000 for a 2-year-old by Sydney's Candy at the March OBS sale. The first to reach the races by Sydney's Candy are 2-year-olds, and they look and act like runners. Here's by Candy Ride, who's climbed to number 2 on the North American Silas, and he's one of two graded stakes winners produced by Fair Exchange. Fair Exchange, a daughter of Stormcat, and the multiple graded winner in Millionaire Exchange. It's a great pedigree. And Sidney's Candy more than lived up to it. After breaking his maiden in record time as a two-year-old, Del Mar, he went on to win six graded stakes, including the grade one Santa Anita Derby, getting the best of Looking at Lucky. He also set a new track record going a mile in the 16th of Del Mar, 1:39.2. He sprinted a mile on the dirt and 1:33.3. He could run on anything, and he earned over $1,104,000. Sidney's Candy stands at Windstar Farm. Give Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson a call, 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, well, Steve Moody is giving us the winner of the Bluegrass Stakes. And
today's Les Enstone's birthday.
Les Enstone's birthday? Well, happy birthday, Les.
29 or something like that.
Okay.
Some lie, you know.
Anyway, so might look at a winner or two at the, take a look at some of the old-time winners of the Bluegrass Stakes. You have to go back. 1937 was the first running of it. I don't know much about the horse. It won a horse named Fencing. I do know it was by chance shot, and I do know that Earl Sandy, the great ex-rider Earl Sandy, trained him. And Mr. Sandy came back 2 years later and won it again with Heather Broom for Mr. John Hay Whitney. And Basil James rode that one. In between 1937 and 1939, Bull Lee won it. Of course, the great Bull Lee, the top sire. You know, he was a fantastic sire. Yeah, Colonel E.R. Bradley's Bimelec won it in 1940 and went down to the Derby and got beat by Galahadian, as you well remember. Pretty good horse ran second to him that day, named Roman. Roman by Sir Galahad the third. Very fast horse, and he went to stud over at the Elmendorf Farm. But ended up at the Stallion Station over on Russell Cave Road. Our Boots won it for Woodvale Farm. That's Mr. Ross G. Martin. Our Boots beat Whirlaway that day. But he sure didn't beat him in the Derby. But anyway. Then, let's see, Green Trees Farms Shutout won it under Eddie Arcaro, Mr. John Gaver. Trisaddle the winner. He beat Bless Me, who I believe was by Sickle. Wouldn't bet the farm on it, though. And let's see, 1943, Calumet Farm won it with Ocean Wave. Now, that's not a real well-known Calumet horse. Ben Jones trained him. Horse that ran second was Amberlight. He was by Pilot. And Johnny Longdon rode him. Amberlight had won, I believe, the Louisiana Derby. I'm pretty sure he won that, but I'm not. Once again, I wouldn't bet the farm. I remember him real well. He was a mean son of a gun. Let's see who else. The first Derby winner to win it. That was Shutout, of course, 1942, and Eddie Arcaro took off him to ride Devil Diver, which was the stablemate, and that was a big mistake. But he got his share of them before it was over. 1946 winner was Mrs. Elizabeth Graham's Main Chance Farms, Lord Boswell. He beat Pellicle. It was by Sir Damien. And Lord Boswell was the son of Boswell. And he went as a part of a three-horse entry for Main Chance Farm, coupled with Knockdown and Perfect Barum. And as well as I can recall, let's see, I think Lord Boswell finished fourth in a race, and running fifth was Knockdown, and then Perfect Barum was ninth. I'm pretty sure that's pretty right. Of course, that was a Salts Derby. He went as far as you could throw a rock over Spison, who I was rooting for at the time. And let's see, the Calumet won it won the Bluegrass in 1947 with Faultless. He was a Bull Lee, and he won it the following year with Coal Town. and he was a very impressive winner of it. I saw that race, and I thought, well, this is your Derby horse right here, your Derby winner. Well, I was wrong. But you'd have cashed a ticket if you bet on him because he ran coupled with Citation. So, anyway, who did he beat that day? Billings. I remember Billings. Chestnut horse by Mahmoud, four white stockings. And running third was a little horse named Shy Guy. He was by Chaladon. Had a Tootsie Cake by High Time. I remember him real well. They set a new track record, Cold Town did that day, among many records that he set. In fact, they said in American Racehorses of 1948-49, one of those that Joe Palmer wrote, they said that this was Cold Town was probably the fastest horse since Man of War. And I don't think his heart was quite the same because although he won a bunch of races, he never won a close race and he never lost a close race. When it looked like anything would hook him, he'd get beat. But he was a real good racehorse. He was a complete bust as a stud horse. I think he went over to France and said racing back over there, breeding back over there. Mr. C.V. Whitney won in 1950 with Mr. Trouble. Mr. Trouble was the son of Mahmoud. Sylvie's trained him. All Capital, another. Well, Mahmoud's were 2 and 3 because All Capital, who went to stud over at Crown Crest Farm, which is now part of Dixiana, what originally was Dixiana, now it's back at Dixiana. All Capital's buried over, I'm pretty sure. He ran second. So Mahmoud, Mr. Trouble, and All Capital ran first and second. Rue won at RUHE for Mrs. Emo Dannemark in 1951. In this race, a horse named Sonic was disqualified and placed fourth, giving the win to Rue. Royal Mustang was second. And Counterpoint went on to be Horse of the Year, ran third. Let's see, what else of interest won it? We have to go back up. Of course, Roundtable won it in 1957. Of course, he had won the Breeders' Futurity out there the year before. One-Eyed King was second. He was a full brother to Bald Eagle. And running third was Manto. Manto was a Citation. One of the runners that he sired. 1959, one of my all-time favorite horses. I just kind of fell in love with this horse. I'd never laid eyes on him before until the Bluegrass Stakes and went out in a paddock. And there was a big crowd of people around him. And all you could see was this horse's head and neck. And he was standing there just ignoring the crowd and with his ears pricked. And I watched him and something about him that I just love. So I went and bet on him. And he beat Dunce that day at Son of Tom Fool. And Scotland ran third. He was by Prince Quilla. And of course, Tommy Lee came back and won the Kentucky Derby. I bet on him again that day. Just barely got the money that day because it was a photo finish on it. One of the best derbies of all time, I would think. He won by nose from Sword Dancer. And he for Mr. and Mrs. Frank Turner, and a real gentleman named Frank Childs, trained him. Willie Shoemaker rode him, Tommy Lee. And I was, of course, he went to stud eventually over at the Stallion Station also, and Lou Doherty had it over there with Harold Snowden and was sterile. He was about 2 to Minstrel, but, and had been imported, Tommy Lee, but he was, side maybe 3 or 4 foals, but that was it. It was a damn shame. Buried over there, incidentally, you know. Mr. Whitney won the Bluegrass Stakes in 1960 with Tompion. Tompion, a son of Tom Fool. He beat Winfield Farms Victoria Park, who went up in Canada and became a real good stud horse. Lou Ruler ran third. He was a Nash Ruler. Lou Ruler was bred by Mr. T. A. Grissom. He out of a mare named, what was her name? I think she was an Alibi mare. She had two, she had Roman Line, Lou Ruler, City Line, and I remember seeing the mayor at Mr. Grissom's farm down here on Paris Pike Duntree Farm, walking down there, and we went out in the field to look at City Line before he was in the summer sales that time, Keeneland summer sales, and I went out there to look at him with Mr. Grissom, who I absolutely thought was a great guy, fun guy to talk to, had all kinds of stories, none of which you could believe, but that's all right. They were good stories. And he was really a nice guy, and went out to see City Line. He was laying down in the field, and he jumped up, and boy, it was like a cat moving. And I thought, my God, this horse is really coordinated. Went in the sales, he bought him back, I think, for $18,000, and which was a good move because the horse went on and won stakes races. He was really. Really, I was really impressed with the horse at the time. But I had enough money, I would have bought him. Let's see, another Derby winner came up after that one, Chateauguay, who of course was by Swaps. Braulio Baeza rode him. He beat Get Around with the citation. And running third was Lemon Twist, who I believe was by Rejected. And then, of course, I saw Northern Dancer win it in 1964. And he was a very impressive winner, although he didn't win by about a half a length. But, you know, he was under wraps when he won it over a horse named Alan Adair. Alan Adair was a son of Courtil. Courtil was a French horse that stood over at Spendthrift Farm. Well, let me take a break here. Smart Strike. Twice topped a North American sire list, and his sons at stud, notably Curlin, English Channel, and Looking at Lucky, are doing extremely well. With the passing of Smart Strike, breeders would do very well to take a good look at Dominus, a versatile multiple graded stakes winner by Smart Strike. Dominus stands at Spendthrift Farm, a farm that's established a solid reputation in developing successful young sires. For instance, End of Mischief, Line of David, Temple City, War's Reward, all with major stakes horses in their first crops to race. Dominus, after sprinting 7 furlong to 122-3, the break is made at Santa Anita, won the historic Grade 2 Dwyer Stakes on the dirt, that was at Belmont, and the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch over Saratoga's Grass, sprinted 7 furlongs on the dirt at Saratoga in 122-2, and he placed in graded stakes at Churchill, Saratoga. His dam, Quando, by Lord of War, won a place in 9 stakes, 5 graded. She's a half-sister to the multiple grade 1 winner, Honey Rider. Honey Rider earned over $2.7 million. Top family, loaded with graded stakes winners. And for more information about this horse, contact Des Dempsey of Brown Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Always ask about breeding incentives and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I've got to give you the names of stakes winners bred in Kentucky over the past weekend. Of course, the Grade 1 Florida Derby winner, Materiality, was bred by, he was by Fleet Alex, bred by Mr. John Gunther. The Group 1 $2 million Dubai Golden Shaheen Stakes, Secret Circle won that. He's by Eddington, bred by the Wilmot Stables. And I'll give you this other Frenchman while I'm at it, the St. Cloud. In France, the Prix Aminum went to a Green Sweet by Smart Strike, bred by Wertheimer and Freer. Fold right up the road here. Bird on the Wire won the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks. Bird on the Wire by Summerbird, bred by Lynn and Kathy Jones. In the, let me pick this one up here. Oh, come on, Ursula, they're stuck together. I must have been eating something. The Grade 2 Pan American winner, Imaging, by Giant's Causeway. That was bred by the Phipps Stables. Fold over at Claiborne Farm. Mervyn H. Mooney's Handicap, who was grade 2 at the fairgrounds. And the winner was Chocolate Ride by Candy Ride, bred by Brian Kahn. Candy Ride, a top sire. The grade 2 fairgrounds Oaks winner, I'm a Chatterbox, by the top, the number one ranked second crop sire, Munnings, who stands over at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. This one bred by Fletcher and Carolyn Gray. The Grade 2 New Orleans Handicap winner, Call Me George, for Point Given, bred by Margot Farm in partnership with Barry Irwin. The Godolphin Mile At the Maydan, winner was Tamarcus, read by Mr. John Gunther. He is by Spitetown, who stands at Windstar Farm. Commissioner won the Grade 3 Skip Away by AP Indy, bred by another Windstar Farm. The Grade 3 Appleton Handicap winner was War Correspondent. That is a horse by Warfront, bred by Joseph Allen, another one foaled over at Claiborne Farm. Mr. Allen also bred the winner of the Grade 3 Orchid Stakes at Gulfstream Park. That was Beauty Parlor by Lucy Quality. Beauty Parlor also was foaled at Claiborne and was bred by Joseph Allen, as I just said. Gulfstream Park's Sanibella Island Handicap went to Celestine. That's a three-year-old filly by Scat Daddy, bred by the Phoenix Rising Farms. That's champion Scat Daddy at Ashford Stud. The Tokyo City Cup at Santa Anita went to Sky Kingdom by Empire Maker, bred by Mr. Jim Fitzgerald. Old Jim living in Virginia now. The Santana Mile at Santa Anita winner was Blue Tone by Birdstone, bred by the Far View Stables. The Sir Shackleton Stakes at Gulfstream Park went to Pants on Fire by Jumpstart, bred by K&G Stables. The Carolina Cup, going a 2 1/8 miles over hurdles, went to Diplomat. Diplomat is a six-year-old gilding by Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. That Mr. Ramsey bred, now he's breeding steeplechase winners. He didn't miss a trick. The Coyote Stakes at Turf Paradise went to Broadway Empire by Empire Maker, bred by the Mercedes Staples. And then on Wednesday, the Cutler Bay Stakes for three-year-olds went to Force the Pass, another Spitetown, and this one bred by the Colts Neck Stables. Now, Spitetown, of course, at Windstar Farm, top stud horse. So those were the breeders of the Kentucky Bred Stakes over that, brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. Bunch of stakes out of Keeneland today if you're going out. Jackie, you want to do anything, or you got about 2 minutes if you got something you want to plug?
Keep Foundation's Horses Work license plate featuring Seattle Slough will be out. It's $25, and what you do is just take your $25 and go to your county clerk.
Don't forget the posts and planks out here at the training center.
Yeah, I'm turning the page. Okay. I am turning the page, yeah, turning it, and
keep on a turning.
Keep on turning. Well, anyway, we're out here at the Thoroughbred Center. I still haven't found the paper, but they bought out a place with planks and posts, and they're selling them out here. They'll deliver, or you can pick them up.
There you are.
Yeah, there I am. They've got treated pine posts. They got locust posts. They got 9,000 fence posts and 4,000 oak and poplar fence planks. And after this big rain, you might want to get your order in on account of the what's going to happen is you're going to need it, and so does everybody else. So give Jim Pendergast a call, 293-1853. Ha! I remembered that number.
All that from memory. Very good.
It's amazing.
All right, of course, they're running the Bluegrass Stakes out there today, and this Jackie just reported that the track was fast.
Yes.
How about that?
It said that the drainage.
No, that was Steve Moody that said that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had read on Facebook that somebody put up that their drainage that they put in, that state-of-the-art drainage, did a beautiful job. So,
well, we don't have the drainage like that here, but the track's in pretty doggone good shape.
We have a genius here at the Takes Care of Us Herald.
Okay, so they're running the Bluegrass Stakes. They're running the Ashland Stakes out there today. And what else? The Madison Stakes. That's three Grade 1. They're running the Grade 2 Commonwealth Stakes and the Grade 3 Shakertown Stakes. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's five stakes. The big one out in Santa Anita today, Dortmund going in the Santa Anita Derby. He's in there with one lucky Dane, Cross the Line, Bolo, Prospect Park, and Big Reed Sanchez.
That's a walkover.
Yeah. Dortmund, of course, by Big Brown. One Lucky Dane by Looking at Lucky. And there's three of them in there by standing over at Spencery Farm. Line of David, Temple City, and War is Reward. Oh, got 3 year-olds going in there today. Cross the Line, Bolo, and Big Reed Sanchez. And, of course, their first crop Spencery Farm sires. Aqueduct's Twin Spire Stakes goes today. Also, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks and the Grade 1 Carter. So, I hear the music in the background, which means it's time for me to spit out the bit. So, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Mary Jane, down in the studio, and Ressie here, and all my guests. And we will talk to you next week.
Happy trails.